life.
Just a couple days later, they're still finding debris 100 plus miles away from Washington, Illinois. But it was massive devastation in many nooks and crannies in the Midwest because of up to 65 tornadoes. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you are safe, warm, and comfortable in your own little Hobbitville, wherever that may be. And seriously, that is that sense of, I say Hobbit because it's that sense of having a cocoon around you. And the people who just went through these terrible tornadoes, especially in Washington, Illinois, probably would like to have a cozy little place. When everything is just ripped from its foundation, it is a frightening thing to happen. I've talked to people who have been through some devastating tornadoes. Once I met a couple who would be much like the people in Washington, Illinois, who had just had a baby and they were at the hospital and they had a bat in the hatches there. So they, of course, did not go back to their house. This was in Mississippi and Katrina, because people forget Katrina was about mostly water and the levee breaking, and what ended up happening there had to do so much more with water and Katrina. But the winds and the actual Hurricane Katrina smashed into places like Biloxi, Mississippi. So this couple who seemingly was starting their life, had just scrimped and saved, gotten a house, that whole thing, came back to find that they had nothing, not even a piece of paper, nothing, just a slab where their house had been. Couldn't find anything, nothing. Some wood, the stuff that we're seeing, the piles of debris, because the winds were so strong and had just taken it all, swoosh, had all just gone away back into the water or someplace else. They lived close to the water. So the people in Washington, Illinois, what's crazy is people 100 miles away are finding bank slips, are finding alarm clocks, pieces of clothes, to show you how powerful the storm there was. Governor Pat Quinn talked about the storm and all that it's taken and what it's going to take to get back in the game for the people of Illinois.
It is important that we see ourselves as a family, that we come together when something very dangerous and difficult and deadly happens to the people. We're all in this together. It is important that now that we continue our search and rescue. If there are any victims that are still in harm's way, our state police are on the scene along with local law enforcement. The estimates by the Weather Service are going to be probably between 20 and 30 different tornadoes occurred across Illinois. Our hope to get a federal disaster declaration really rides on our ability to get all information regarding damage and destruction that occurred.
Yeah, exactly. It's getting all that information. It's making sure that they've combed over every possible square inch of devastation, just in case somebody or something was missed, and then all the claims and everything that entails. Pretty tough, too, when you think Thanksgiving is just next week. Rough time for, and of course, the weather, because now it's getting colder, so that makes it even tougher for the people that find themselves in that spot. But, you know, America's a great place. Why? Because we all have this sense of community. It's not just the people in Illinois doing it on their own. There have been plenty of people that have come from other states trying to deliver what they do, water, clothes, help to the people there, because that's what they need. When the immediate thing happens to you, that's what you don't have. You had the clothes on your back. You don't have the water sources or the food or any of that. Even if you're getting shelter somewhere or you are seeking neighbors, still in the beginning, that's what it feels like, and people are walking around trying to find any evidence of some of the stuff that they had. That's why it was interesting to see that so much of it had blown away to other places. Kind of like the couple that I described that I met in Mississippi who had nothing, not even a rattle. I mean, the whole thing, it was like it was sucked up into a vacuum. And sometimes that's what happens. Sometimes you can pick through and you'll be able to find one or two things that resemble something that you had in your home. And it's not about things. It's about people But there's something comforting when everything is shredded in finding that one photograph, that whatever it might be, reminder, ticket stubs from a ball game or something, just something that ties you to the life that you had in the area. But they'll get it together, and there's, again, a lot of people pouring out and pouring up there and giving them anything that they can possibly get. It's just a question of putting one foot in front of the other and rebuilding. Coming up on America Tonight, a new segment called Call Me Crazy. Oh, and we got a good one for you in the Call Me Crazy segment. Also, before we skedaddle from this hour, the NFL's Monday night game with another bizarre finish. You know, we've had a bunch of these games this past week. I mean, this whole season has been about last-minute heroics, strange things happening. Not in every game, certainly, but every week there's been one of those games, and this was certainly one of them. I watched the last quarter just in time to see some of that happen. Also, just a quick reminder, don't forget we still have Nail the Score this week. It happens on our Wednesday into Thursday show. The last two segments will randomly pick the game of the week in the NFL, and for fun, it's like playing bingo or like playing the lottery, only you don't have to pay. The computer randomly picks the game of the week. You just tell us who you think's going to win and what you think the final score is going to be. We've had two winners, Dave in Vermont, Chris in Connecticut, in the past 4 years. You could be the next winner. You'll win a copy of my book, Level the Playing Field, plus some wild prizes from the America Tonight prize closet. So it's really, really fun to play, and it could be really, really worth it. Who knows? Maybe you'll get a decent stocking stuffer that you could re-gift, perhaps. Maybe that may happen for some of you. Hey, strange story on the day before we get to the Call Me Crazy. I'm not going to put him in this category, although some of you might put him in that category. But strange things happening. George Zimmerman. I don't know how many of you might have caught the headlines on the excellent stations that you're listening to this show on. But George Zimmerman, who was acquitted earlier this year, as you know, in the death of Trayvon Martin, was arrested after a crazy incident near his girlfriend's home. The girlfriend called 911 and was saying, he has a gun, he has a gun. So now Zimmerman has been charged with a felony. I think all this after going through what he went through, what that whole town went through, what the nation went through, is that went on for a year, and now he finds himself in the same different scenario, but same situation, dealing with police, only this time because the felony is over allegedly pointing a gun at the girlfriend, a domestic violence situation. So he's acquitted of the murder of Trayvon Martin, then he's picked up after the crazy incident at the home of his girlfriend. He also was charged with a couple of misdemeanors, domestic violence, battery, criminal mischief. He's in jail again without bail. He makes his first appearance in front of a judge Tuesday afternoon. Stay with us. Call me crazy. Call me crazy. Coming up.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
Are you frustrated with your current job? Not making the type of money that you know you are worth? Is it time for a change? Maybe it's time you considered starting your own home-based business. Autopilot Marketing has helped thousands of people, just like you, get started working from home. Whether it's an extra $250 to $500 per month part-time or a six-figure full-time income, anything is possible. You don't need any special skills or experience. Anyone can succeed with Autopilot Marketing. Take our free video tour and find out if this opportunity is right for you. Go to income16.com now. That's income16.com. Take our free video tour today and start earning money as early as next week. Go to income16.com. That's income16.com.
Tonight, call me crazy. Boy, this stuff with this mayor of Toronto is so ridiculously out of hand, isn't it? But his family comes to his defense no matter what kind of crazy nonsense he utters that is just more shocking from the day before. Here's his brother Doug Ford talking about he's just a good guy. He's just an everyday working class kind of man.
The little guy comes down here for help. That's who Rob Ford represents. Not the establishment, not the elite. These people are going to rise up over the next weeks. You're going to hear from the working class folks of this city who elected Rob Ford.
Well, they better hurry up and come to his aid because these screaming video moments are awesome features to look at on YouTube, and the late night comedians are having a field day with it. But other than that, he's doing himself no favors. And his popularity actually spiked after the first crazy thing that happened with him, the sort of drunken, high little rant that was caught on tape. But now it's gone to the point where, yeah, I think we're kind of over it when you're plowing into a council member and you're just operating under a different set of rules than the rest of the people. So here's what the Toronto mayor, Rob Ford, had to say about alcohol and drug testing and a myriad of other things related to what's going on with him.
It's humbling. I want to thank my supporters for sticking with me. I guarantee you're going to see a change in the next few months. I'll do a drug test and alcohol test right now. And I put a motion forward that every counselor do it too. I don't want to do this. I'm not a rat, Joe. You know what? I know people party on the side. I know lawyers, doctors, everybody has a good time.
Yeah, there you go. And it gets worse because this is 2 weeks since Mayor Rob Ford, you know, now he's vowing outright war after the city council voted to strip him of most of his powers. And why is that? Because he admitted to smoking crack cocaine in a drunken, crazy stupor and an admission that forced a drug probe that resulted in extortion charges against a friend. And he's saying the Monday vote to strip him of his powers was outrageous.
What's happening here today is not a democratic process. It's a dictatorship process. There's only so many times you can apologize, so many times you can say, it's my fault, there's no one else to blame but myself. I've said that over and over and over again. But you guys just won't give up. This is nothing more than a coup d'etat.
A coup d'etat. He went on to compare it to Iraq's invasion of Kuwait in 1990. And he says what goes around comes around. He said, if you think American-style politics is nasty, you guys have to just wait and see because you attacked Kuwait. And he says, you'll see something. Mark my words, my friends. It's going to be outright war in the next election. So the council voted 36-5. This is over the border again in Toronto. To slash the budget of the mayor's office, meaning no party funds, no more alcohol flowing, and transfer most of his duties to the deputy mayor. They say he doesn't understand what he's facing, and he's basically now a figurehead. Call him the queen, the queen of Toronto. So that's the reality. He doesn't, they're saying he doesn't represent the face of the city. They're trying to do everything they can to boot him out. The council called on him to take a leave of absence, so then they decided to strip him of his powers. Matt, is this the craziest thing? I mean, this whole crack cocaine use and all the nonsense he was saying about his wife. I mean, just insane things coming out of his mouth.
It seems like Detroit is rubbing off on Toronto here. This is straight out of Detroit, in my opinion, you know, with some of the mayors that they've had, or even D.C. with... what was his name? I can't remember his name, but he got reelected.
Marion Barry.
Yes,
Marion
Barry. Reelected. I mean, this is American style politics coming to Canada. It's the fifth largest city in North America, and you just have basically a drugged up Chris Farley running your city, and I can't believe it. And he still has like a 40% approval rating.
I know. So he's saying you just wait till this election, and boy, you know, what do you do? Are his supporters turning on him? Are they cheering him? They say they're still cheering him over the weekend. They had him on and saw a bunch of shows, and they were cheering for him.
I think that there's a little bit of likability to this guy just the way he keeps fighting back and just doesn't care what other people think of him. And I think that's appealing to a certain section of people.
Call me crazy. Like I said, it's perfect for the call me crazy segment. You know, he's saying he's the best father around, and he's just talks about he didn't grow up with, you know, the political advantage, blah blah blah. But the thing is, now there have been stories done about him, and he did in fact grow up with a wealthy family, so he has a family fortune in his back pocket. If the mayor gets booted for being the rich party boy guy that's out of control, he has a soft place to land, let's put it that way. And, you know, it really was crazy what happened the first time around. And I think that what's happening is the city council is figuring out how can they push him out, what can they do to get him, you know, out of the situation. How can they push him out? What can they do? They're stuck. And as Matt said, the approval ratings, when they're high like that, you know, it's the democratic process. And so I think they figure if they would just strip him of the powers, that would be enough to perhaps chase him away. But it's not. It hasn't been. And this is going to continue. I mean, it's the gift that keeps on giving for comedians, because there's going to be fodder there for a long time. I say for at least a couple more weeks, and who knows, maybe even beyond that, because I do believe when he says, I'm not going away and I'm going to fight and you wait, you just unleash Kuwait. I believe that. I think he's absolutely going to continue to stick in there and do whatever he can. So call me crazy in a different way. Would I hire John Edwards as my attorney? Would you hire John Edwards? You know John Edwards, the former senator, ran for president, fooled around with his videographer, almost went to prison because of PAC money and allegations that he illegally used that money to pay for his mistress and all that other sort of stuff. He is back. He is returning. He is returning to law, the practice of law. And that was how he made his money. I mean, he really was the guy who came from nothing and made money because he represented fat cats that had some big money in some cases as he moved his way up through the ranks, started to get paid well. And he always would say that it's about social injustice and inequalities, and he wanted to do things to help for the greater good, and he's saying that that's what he's doing now. So this is the first time he's been back in public since he was acquitted of campaign finance abuse last year, and that was a tight one for Edwards. Ooh, that was tight. I know an attorney that was involved in that, and they talked about just how close of a haircut that was for him. It's wild to think of that, how the predicament he found himself in, and, you know, there he was running with a vengeance, and it didn't happen, and he was on the short list as somebody who could have had a cabinet spot and probably would have for Barack Obama if that stuff hadn't come out. And once that happened, of course, they were going to not have anything to do with John Edwards. So we'll see if he gets some high-profile cases or what happens. But call me crazy. I don't know that I'd want to hire Edwards, because then your lawyer, he's infamous. And does that hurt you in the court of law ultimately? Because it's about the judges and it's about the system. So with what happened, are people just saying, oh, who cares, that was then? Or does that have blowback when all of a sudden you have the guy that's representing you who is got a super famous face, a lot of stories surrounding him? I don't know. I might have to go with somebody else who didn't have quite so much buzz, wasn't as radioactive. Hey, coming up next, we're going to Poland. Yes, indeed, to talk to Luke Vargas. Stay with us.
Do you have unfiled tax returns or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action now, your tax problem is going to get worse. Much worse. Seizure of property, bank levies, wage garnishments, and potential criminal prosecution. And if you owe the IRS back payroll taxes, chances are you will be visited at your home or business by an IRS agent. Don't become paralyzed by fear. Take action now. Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield for help. Our team of experienced tax attorneys can get you protected, stop collections, and negotiate a permanent settlement with the IRS and state, potentially saving you thousands of dollars. At U.S. Tax Shield, our tax advisors will review your case for free, inform you of your rights, and give you a guaranteed quote. No games and no tricky upsells. That's why we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Put an end to your torment. Get protected. Get the Shield. Call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-211-9458. That's 800-211-9458. 800-211-9458.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited-time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open-pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
That's the sound of a 44 Magnum and Traumamax. A high-tech hybrid Kevlar bulletproof vest from InfidelBodyArmor.com will stop it and most pistol rounds. Traumamax is a major breakthrough in pistol-rated body armor, and prices start at just $170 per insert. More protection, more stopping power, more mobility, and it weighs less than 5 pounds. Get details at InfidelBodyArmor.com. That's InfidelBodyArmor.com.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work to reduce the rate of premature birth. The numbers have gone down in the past 5 years, but still, nearly 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States each year. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and community programs to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
Now, don't just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about.
All right, I've been waiting to talk to this guy all day long. Our pal Luke Vargas, what an assignment. He is in Warsaw, Poland. And, of course, we know that the climate summit, there's the big focus is certainly there. Luke, thanks for coming on with us here on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Hey, it's great to speak to you.
So tell me, first of all, because I'm just curious, I've had a bunch of friends that have gone to Poland, actually, so when you said you were going to Poland, I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. What was that flight like from, I'm assuming, New York to Warsaw?
It was actually a great flight. Somehow, I've managed to get these direct flights, both from New York to Warsaw and then last month to Jordan, so it's been pretty easy. It was funny, though. They were advertising very steep discounts if you wanted to fly on the new luxury Boeing Dreamliner, as they were advertising it, which was basically a way of saying, we'll make it easy for you to fly on a plane that has had a consistent battery overheating problems. So they're stuck with a fleet of planes and trying to find a way to advertise people to get on them.
I love it. Tell us what's the main objective for this, what's happening right now, the current climate summit? What's the goal?
Well, in the sort of short term, the negotiators are looking to put together a mechanism that will allow sort of richer countries to compensate poorer countries for climate-related disasters. And there are no better examples of this than the recent typhoon in the Philippines, which many people say serves as sort of the best possible example of the type of perhaps climate change-fueled natural disaster that is requiring just billions of dollars of aid. A lot of negotiators here say you need to have a scheme in place almost permanently that is getting money every year that can then be dispensed out as needed, both for, you know, emergency relief, but also just for long-term mitigation techniques. As you can imagine, because we have yet to have a real global agreement on the broader parts of climate change, this is a real sticking point for people. It's you had Australia, who's become one of the biggest bull in the China shops at this conference, said a number of statements early on in the conference about this scheme. A lot of people look to Australia because of their position in the Pacific region as a country that really needs to come on board. They need to be okay with changing their immigration schemes so that people from low-lying islands that are at risk of being buried under the water, they can be let, given essentially like asylum or something in Australia. Australia has a new conservative prime minister as of September, and basically since he's come into office, they've been dialing back all their past commitments. They've have basically announced they want to cut their carbon tax trading system. They're going to cut investments for clean energy. And then on this matter of providing money for countries that are suffering from climate-related disasters, they say they don't want to do any donations or charity. They only consider climate finance like a business investment. So essentially, this plan is running into to a ton of opposition. And so faced with the potential that these talks are going to miss their original target, they're retreating towards a broader goal for this conference, which is just to lay the foundation for a deal in 2015, which was sort of the secondary goal anyway. So it's been an unfortunately sort of sluggish first week here. The high-level talks actually start today, and I guess they're not too high-level because you only have two presidents and two prime ministers showing up here, and you haven't heard of any of them. But maybe there is some hope in the next few days that something can be agreed to that will set out a path for the next few years. But again, the more ambitious goals unfortunately seem to have been abandoned already.
Yeah, so there must be some chitter-chatter. Obviously, you set that up well, telling us about Australia. Have you heard, as far as the other UN member states, a little bit about possible climate commitments because of what you just said, how it's kind of fallen flat already, the setup, but you don't know because, you know, there are countries you haven't even heard of, the presidents that are there. So what's the feeling? What's the climate at the climate summit on that?
Well, in addition to Australia, which has received so many press conferences directly at them, the other country that jumps out to me is Japan. Of course, the Kyoto protocols are the only legally binding agreement that's been made so far on the climate, and those are going to expire in 2020, and actually even sooner for those countries like the United States and Canada who said they're not interested in ratifying the second phase of the Kyoto commitments. So the reason this talk is being held is Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General, has said by 2015 he wants member states of the UN to agree to a post-2020 climate agreement. They're going to be working on it at the UN next September at a summit. They're going to be working on it in Peru at the equivalent of this summit next November. And Japan, again, the host country when the Kyoto protocols were signed, has also made some news here talking about their climate commitments. And again, it's a negative headline. They said essentially that because of the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear disaster that followed the 2011 tsunami and earthquake, that they're not going to be able to hit their emissions cuts for 2020. They had originally said they thought they could get their carbon emissions down 25% over 1990 levels, and 1990 is still commonly used as the benchmark for emissions that everyone sets their goals off of. They've now said that's impossible because the nuclear sector is going to stay closed. They've had to go back to fossil fuel sources, and their best estimate now is that their emissions are actually going to rise by 3% by 2020. So you sort of weigh Australia, you weigh Japan, you weigh Canada, which is another unpopular country here because of the ongoing Keystone Pipeline debate, and a lot of the major negotiating powers are just generating more bad headlines than they are any sort of positive political energy. And I think you can try to offset that by having some countries come in and make what they think are pretty big political commitments. You had the Filipino negotiator go on a hunger strike, saying he's not going to eat at this conference until there's a meaningful agreement. There are a few other examples of people like that who are trying to really get negotiators to come together and sort of see themselves as all being in the same boat. But unfortunately, I think it's just been offset so intensely by these other countries, and it's dragging everything down, unfortunately.
Yeah. So now there you are in Poland, and of course, that's when you have all those people there, they're certainly going to show you and tell you more about Poland, and they're also going to probably flaunt, or maybe, I'm assuming, flaunt what might be their environmental record. How does that stack up, and what's it been like there in Warsaw?
Well, it's been funny. This is the second COP round of talks, the Convention of Party talks that have occurred in Poland in the past 5 years, which would make you think that this is a country that really has it all figured out, like Denmark, where the Copenhagen talks were a few years ago, and everyone here says, oh, I wish this were like Copenhagen. They come here, they arrive in Warsaw, and they say, there are no signs anywhere. No one here knows this conference is even going on. You don't see signs up. You don't have people greeting you at the airport and passing out pamphlets about how great the Polish energy sector is. And that may be because perhaps the most circulated document here has been a 2009 energy blueprint that was published by the Polish government that sort of determines what they're going to do until 2030 on the energy front. And essentially, I've read through the whole thing. Unfortunately, I've printed it out, so maybe not the best, most sustainable way of reading this document, but it is one of the most depressing things I've ever encountered. And I'm used to, you know, to dealing with U.S. politics where you have climate, basically draft texts of Obama's climate law that really aren't going to see the light of day. But at the very least, they're filled with optimistic plans. And this 2030 blueprint by the Polish government is just the opposite of inventive. It says they want to create 12 new open-pit coal mines, about the same number of new coal-fired power plants. And essentially, they said they want to hit 15% renewable energy sources by 2020. And then by 2030, they are only looking for 16%. So this is a government that really doesn't see renewable energy sources in this country as anything more than sort of a fad that they're being forced to adapt to because of international pressure, not something they think there's really much domestic excitement about. And there's actually a coal summit that is being hosted by the Polish government that began yesterday and is continuing today in Warsaw. Again, just the notion that this government thinks it's a wise public relations move to be gaveling a major conference of coal companies, coal finance firms, and energy lobbyists, essentially, in the capital while this UN climate talks are ongoing, reflects, I think, a little bit of deafness to the you know, real concern that so many of the 10,000 people at this UN climate conference have about coal as an energy source. And in every press conference I've heard, the minister of the environment, who is actually an economics man himself, which is you know, actually seems to make sense given the way he talks, is entirely unrepentant and just doesn't see why anyone thinks this is hypocritical in any way. And I think, again, it's just people here I've spoken to, I've gone to the coal regions of the country, where they're beginning to see some of the environmental impacts of this extractive industry, just say it's just so disappointing that the government here seems to be acting in a way that betrays the environmental concerns of the people. It's been surprising that this is the host country. And as someone of Polish origin, I've been a little upset at what I really think is sort of the lack of foresight in the government planning on energy.
Yeah, no kidding. What a clash that is. You would think that'd be a major conundrum, but obviously they've missed that one. Luke Vargas, terrific stuff. Thank you so much for filling us in on the details. Enjoy the rest of your time in Warsaw.
Sure thing. Good to speak to you.
It's It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
Newton retreats to throw, looking, thinking, gets bumped, rolls out, now starts to run, backs up again, fakes another New England Patriot, rolling out to the near side, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, first down, Newton to midfield, and finally brought down in Patriot territory at the 49. What an exquisite bit of football razzle-dazzle by Cam Newton.
There was something out of Fred Cockerton or Roger Staubach.
Looking left, throwing left, fastball, and it's caught. 15-yard line to the 10, to the 5, left pylon. Touchdown!
Ted Ginn!
Ted Ginn Jr.
Nick, that's up a pure speed right there.
Four-man rush. New England goes three receivers to the right, one to the left. Brady backs up to throw, moves up in the pocket. Brady throws end zone, intercepted. Panthers win! What a penalty marker! We have a penalty flag, and the Patriots are clapping.
Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness.
Sweet Caroline started the play, and then they took it off the speaker. Brady was going to be hit. He threw the ball. It was picked by Lester.
Hold up.
Nope.
Nope. They pulled it up. Pick the flag up. Pick it up.
Fouling play. The Carolina Panthers have beaten the New England Patriots on Monday Night Football.
Just watching Cam grow, watching him lead this team, watching him go 85 yards. All hear all about the statistics of other guys having game-winning drives. Now Cam has his game-winning drive against a big team, against a worthy opponent. Just watching a young man grow, I just saw that young 24-year-old Cam Newton just chipping away, and I just a little hint of greatness is starting to shine through a little bit, man. And it was fun to be a part of.
Been through that before. Last time I tried to ask an official question about a call, that was the wrong thing to do. So I have no idea. There was no explanation given to me. Ran off the field. I didn't see anything. We came up short. It wasn't good enough. We came up short. We got to do a better job. Just didn't make enough plays.
Wow. Belichick pretty upset, you could tell by his voice, over what happened at the tail end of that game. What an exciting finish for Panther fans. It's their sixth straight win, and the Patriots were dumbfounded and wondering why that crazy penalty that could have saved them on the final play was ultimately thrown out. That's why he was asked that question, or wiped out, or whatever. So how about that? What a wild finish to a Monday night game. Matt, you were watching that. It was crazy. What did you think? Because the officials threw the flag originally, but then they said that Gronkowski couldn't have caught the ball, said that it was underthrown because it was a Hail Mary kind of pass, I'll call it that, from Tom Brady. And then thus ends the game, and Carolina wins it.
Yeah, that was one of the most confusing calls I've seen since the old the replacement ref game with the Packers and the Seahawks, because I think if you, like, even the ESPN analyst, the ref, who is it, Jerry Austin, their expert ex-ref that, like, comes in, all those guys all disagreed on it. I think if you go down the street, you watch people, you get some man-on-the-street comments from people leaving the game, you can get 10 different answers as to why that should have been a penalty or should not have been a penalty, because I couldn't tell you. And I was texting my friends back and forth. Everyone was kind of split on the decision. In my personal opinion, I think that was a penalty because, at the very least, it's defensive holding. Because
yeah.
I don't think it was pass interference, because I don't think Gronkowski would have caught the ball or had an opportunity to, but he was being held while the ball was still in the air and before any player touched it. So, in my estimation, that should be defensive holding, but I don't know. I mean, you'd have to look at it a couple different times, because if the defensive back is touching the ball and then the player, the linebacker, bear hugs Gronkowski, that's completely legal.
Right.
But it's just when that happens. I don't know. I'd have to see another replay of it, I guess.
It looked like a foul to me for sure, because of the way his arms were wrapped around him, you know, the linebacker, the Panther linebacker. But and initially that's what you got, that pass interference, which, wow, what a change that would have been. But hey, they didn't, the original call, they didn't, it was pass interference, but then they said forget it, you know, basically they waved that off.
And another way to look at it, I had a buddy text me this, that if Gronkowski's all alone in the back of the end zone and that defensive back is still in the middle of the field, Gronkowski still won't catch that ball, it'll be picked off, and so in his estimation, that's why the play should have been picked up, because it had no impact on the play. So, I don't know. There's several ways that you can look at it.
Yeah, either way, bottom line is Carolina walks away with another big win, and New England takes the loss. So, how about that? That's the way it rolls. 24-20 was the final score with Carolina. Just a huge win for them. Again, at home, they're 7-3. The Patriots are also 7-3, but they wanted to pick up that eighth win, and they didn't do it. So, that wraps up another week in the NFL. Time is ticking away. I mean, here we are now, week 12. Hear that, Izzy in Missouri, because she's a huge NFL fan. She's going to want to make sure that she participates in our Nail the Score game on Thursday in the AM in what is our third hour, the last two segments. You can, by the way, send us your scoring guess, and a bunch of people always do that. It seems to be either people are calling or more people send in guesses. But either way, you either light up the phone lines for those two segments, or you send us the guests, and it's only then. We only take them then. It doesn't matter. You can't do it later. You hear it in a replay and all that kind of stuff. It wouldn't be fair for everybody else who called at the allotted time or sent in the guests. So we can't You know, at this point, we can't do that.
But the one thing I will say is, finally, there was an exciting Monday night football game.
With a controversial call, but it ended like that.
Two good teams and a great game. And actually, if you count Sunday night football game, the Chiefs and the Broncos, I mean, this is the first time in I don't know how many years where you had back-to-back Sunday night football, Monday night football games where it was very good teams and very good games, too.
Yeah, instead of blowout games or kind of boring games.
Bad
games
or just bad teams, too, because, you know, Monday night football, it used to be the premier day for the highlights of the game of the week, pretty much. They used to get all the good matchups. Then that shifted to Sunday night football, and Monday night football kind of got left with the scraps and not the ability to change any of the games. And I think if you look at the beginning of the year, nobody would have thought that game would have been that great. But, I mean, it turned out to be a really good matchup.
Yeah, and it is about, you know, ultimately that's you're right. That used to be the signature thing, Monday night, and then it became Sunday because they got those flex games where they were able to cherry-pick the good games. And that changed, maybe that changed a little bit for Monday night, and that's why Monday night's the way it is. But it would be so boring. I used to think, you know, you could tell how bad the game was by how many people were overserved on Monday night. And this was a much better one. It was definitely a watchable game where some of them have, I'd be like Izzy, some of them have not been watchable when you have something that's just so low scoring, penalty filled. You know, we've seen a couple of those, or you see something that swings so wide the other way, where the one team is just completely dominated the other, and it you almost wish there was a mercy rule. Yeah, that's no fun to watch that for sure. Hey, coming up on America Tonight later this week, we'll talk about JFK. Really, what happened moments before the world changed from some shots and a grassy knoll. Living so close to the Sixth Floor Museum, I've talked to a few people and looked at it from a couple of different angles, and we're going to talk to some people about the JFK legacy, what it is and what it's not. We've done that along the way, and we'll do that coming up at the tail end of the week. I've already mentioned, don't forget about Nail the Score. And I've had some people that have actually gone to the movies, so some cheap movie reviews. I always say this, if you go to the movies and you review a flick, send it to me and I'll send you a copy of the book Level the Playing Field. And there's some decent movies that are starting to come out. So people now, I think, to get away from the whole drum pounding, beating over what's happening in Washington and the frustrations over the economics of what's going on, has sent people on their off days to the movies. Because I haven't had this many movie reviews since we started doing it a couple of years ago. So we'll make sure that we get to those also at the tail end of the week. Thanks for listening to this hour of ATN.
Business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.